on my Father's side. Okay? Jesus died over 2,000 years ago. Nobody refers to him as the late Jesus Christ. Not even heathens. Nowhere in history. You and I never refer to him in the past tense because he is our ever-living, ever-present Lord and Savior. Wow. What you and I are going to share today is a tremendous, incredible theological truth. Something that I've never seen presented in all my born days. It's a true and solid doctrine of our Christian church, but I've never seen it presented as it was in what I'm about to talk to you about. It is well known that Jesus Christ is both God and man. He has the true nature. Jesus, the God-man, true God, true man. The two natures of Christ. Well, I learned that from Luther's Catechism. You bet. The explanation in Luther's second article is absolutely wonderful. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity, also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. And you know, funny, we always speak of two sides of our family, don't we? We're involved in the maternal side and the paternal side, okay? The incredible comparison in this video, which we're not going to see, I know that's paradoxical, but I'll make it happen. I would like to have sung it, but I don't think I'd be able to do that. But we'll learn about what it's all about in just a moment. The incredible comparison of Jesus as a human and as the Son of God brought tears to my eyes when I first heard this on my father's side by the Born Again group. It was really remarkable. It starts with the story of when Jesus is a young boy in the temple. Okay? Now, you can go home and Google this, and I hope you do that. On my father's side by the Born Again group. I played it once more before I left the house this morning. Listened to a couple of polkas on the way to church, so I'm ready to go. But this song has four basic elements. Starts out with, what's your name? How old are you? Where are you from? And what's your plan? Now, Jesus is in the temple with the chief priests and the scribes, and he's just absolutely astonishing them with his answers, okay? What's your name, son? Well, we've always believed that very clearly, that Jesus' human name meant he will save his people from their sins. The angel Gabriel told Joseph, call his name Jesus, because that's what he's going to do. He's going to be the savior of his people. He's going to save them from their sins. Isaiah told us 700 years before that, that there would be a spectacular birth. A virgin, unbelievably, would give birth to a son, and you would call him Emmanuel. God is with us. Jesus' earthly name, and then his heavenly and eternal name. God is with us. How old are you? Well, on my mother's side, I'm 12 years old. Yeah, that was something. On my father's side, I've just always been. There you've got the 33 years on earth and the eternity that has existed without, that always has existed for Jesus because he's always been there. In Luke 2, we're told that story of the little boy standing there, astounding those elders. And he tried to make them understand, and it was hard to make them understand. He says in John 8:58, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was, I am. Now, when you hear somebody talking like that, if you heard somebody talking like that today, how would you respond? And that was really a challenge. John 1:1 makes it very clear about Jesus' eternity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And then Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember when we celebrated our 90th anniversary? That was the theme of our congregation, Jesus, eternity. Where are you from? Oh my, ever from little on we learned that wonderful story, the Christmas story. Yeah, the touching story of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. And that next to Easter, Christmas is that wonderful pillar of our Christian faith and our knowledge and understanding of how Jesus came into the world. And the angels had gone away from them. The shepherds said one to another, come, let us go and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. There they came and found a scene similar to that. Yeah. But in Jesus' own words, his kingdom was not of this world. In his revelation to John in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 3, beginning with verse 11. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one can take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name, the new Jerusalem. And as you go through this song and you hear those beautiful melodies and then you hear that, see those slides back and forth, it was just such a wonderful, wonderful experience. Two of the great people in the Bible have seen those visions. John explains, I saw him, the holy city of New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, Revelation 21. It came out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Remember when Stephen was stoned? What did he see? He had a splendid vision in Acts 7. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And then the song turns to the greatest theological truth of all the scriptures. It deals with the suffering, the death of Jesus Christ, and his crucifixion. What's your plan? What's your plan? On my mother's side, I'll be crucified. Yeah. Matthew 26, when Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, as you know, the Passover is just 2 days away. The Son of Man must be handed over and to be crucified. On my Father's side, what's your plan? In 3 days, I will rise. And that comes from Matthew 26, 31 to 34. Jesus told them, this very night, you'll all fall away from me. You'll all leave me. Because it's written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go before you into Galilee. In 3 days, I will rise. Mark 10 gives us a wonderful description. Verse 32. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. And the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. We're going to Jerusalem, he said. And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death. They will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise. No other theological leader, no other leader of faith has ever told his followers or their followers that he would come back from the dead. No one. No one has ever promised that. Only Jesus did. And we truly celebrate. We celebrate that wonderful event, the majestic event of Easter. He is not here. He is risen. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Now put yourself in the picture of those, in the place of those disciples. They were just told that Jesus was going to die and then he was going to rise again. That was a mountain that stood before them that they had to try and swallow. And you know, if mountains were smooth, I would never climb them. Mountains are rough and jagged and very difficult and challenging. And that's exactly what it was for those disciples. They had to deal with his horrible death, his suffering, his crucifixion. It was almost more than they could bear. And then they had to turn around and understand that he was going to come back to life again. Wow. They were eventually able to climb that mountain. On my earthly father's side, I kind of like this story. It's a story of several Jewish businessmen in Chicago. One of them sent his son to Israel to study. And he did, and he went there for a couple years, came back, and told his dad had he been converted, he was a Christian now. Oy vey, said his father, what have I done? So he went to his friend and told him the same thing, and that man said, well, I sent my son to Israel too, and he did the same thing. He went over there, comes back, and later he's a Christian. The third man did the same thing, told his two friends, and they said, what are we going to do? They said, let's go talk to our rabbi. And the rabbi says, we better pray about this, because my son also went to Israel, studied there, and he came back a Christian. And so they prayed to God, what are we supposed to do? And God said, funny you should ask, because I sent my son to Jerusalem too, to Israel. Yeah. On my mother's earthly side. And isn't that something? My mother had 13 brothers and sisters, so we always went to that side. My dad had a side too, but we never really went there. I didn't learn about that side of my father's family until later in life when I came here. And I went to the hospital one day and saw somebody with the name Krinky, spelled just like mine. Normally I wouldn't do that, but I just went up there and walked in a room and said, I'm Howie Krinky, who are you? And then we learned all about my father's side. I thought that was really interesting. This picture says a good wife can bring balance to your life. Now, Jim Wagner sent this to me, and his mother, Tanta Anna, she was you know, kind of a little heavy on the side before she died. And a good wife can bring balance to your life. And God gave me that balance with my Linda. But on my mother's earthly side, my first uncle married a woman from Wisconsin. And after the marriage, he explained to her what he expected of her and what all was to be done and so forth. And, well, nothing happened for a few days, but finally, slowly but surely, things kind of got in line with what he expected. My second uncle on my mother's side married a woman from Iowa. He did the same thing, kind of laid out the plans, shared with her his expectations and his hope. It took a couple of weeks, but sure as shooting, pretty soon things came into order. And then the third uncle married a woman from South Dakota. And as he explained what he expected from her, he didn't see anything. There was no improvement. He could see nothing. He couldn't see nothing the first day. He couldn't see nothing the second day. By the third day, his swollen eyes began to open up, and he was able to use the arm that wasn't bandaged to make his own sandwich so he'd have something to eat. Families are something, aren't they? Your family. You came from a mother's side. You came from a father's side. But Jesus came from that wonderful side, promised by God through Mary and Joseph in the scriptures. And then from his father's side, eternally leaving heaven, coming to earth to be our Lord and our Savior. We just went through a census. And it was so important because your name in that census would determine how we're governed and so forth and lead to a lot of other wonderful things. But mainly, I thank God because your name has been written in the book of life. It was written in the book of life because Jesus Christ had that inseparable nature, both God and man. Man to be born to live among us, so he knew exactly how life was for us. And he understood exactly what you and I go through. But then to be the Son of God, to have the power to lay down his life and to die for you and for me. And then I'll sit at my Father's side. And there in that conclusion, wow, just absolutely fantastic. So let me just refresh for you the words of the song. Just a young boy in the temple one day, shared with the doctors, and they were so amazed. Never had they seen one so young speak so swift. They asked him many questions. The conversation went like this. "What's your name, son?" "On my mother's side, my name is Jesus. On my father's side, they call me Emmanuel." "How old are you?" "On my mother's side, I'm just 12. But on my father's side, I've always been." Wow. "Where are you from?" "On my mother's side, I'm from Bethlehem. But on my father's side, it's the new Jerusalem." "What's your plan?" "On my mother's side, I'll be crucified. But on my father's side, in 3 days, I will rise and I'll sit at my father's side." Wow. Ephesians 2. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up to sit with him in the realms of the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And then often at funerals, a blessing that I used and I give from Ephesians 1, just a wonderful, wonderful blessing to families. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms." And I try to remind people that that's where their loved one is. Perfectly happy, no longer old, no longer aged, no longer dying, but glorious and at the side of their heavenly Father. This thing was for me one of the most important spiritual things that happened in my life. I heard it several times and, you know, it was just kind of a nice song. But then when I began to realize that this little group was telling us the significance of the most wonderful story ever told of how God became a man, God became a human, and he was God all the time, never separated, and that was my Savior. And that's the person in whom I place my trust, that one day my soul will join him and I'll be at my Father's side. And you also. And I just urge you to cling to that Savior, Son of God and Son of Man. Amen.